When I was in college, I had free cable. You see, my university ran this special where all you had to do was pay tuition and room and board, and you got this pretty sweet cable package. And in this cable package, there was not one, but two Nickelodeon channels. It was awesome.
And there was this point at night where Nickelodeon would turn from Nickelodeon into Nick at Night, and the other Nickelodeon channel, which was Nick Jr., would go from showing the cartoons for children in that day to showing the throwback cartoons that I grew up with in the 90s. And it was magical, because I could go right from watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Friends into watching SpongeBob. And since my mom is here today, I will say that this happened at about 9 p.m. because I was in bed by 9:30. But the issue was, after the last episode of Friends, before SpongeBob started, there was about this 15-minute gap in programming where if you stayed on the first Nickelodeon channel, you got some weird infomercial. Or if you switched to the other Nickelodeon channel, there was Dora the Explorer on. And you see, when you lose the remote as much as I do, it's difficult enough to change one channel apart, than to switch and then go back and try to find it. So naturally, I had to choose between whether or not I wanted to watch an infomercial or Dora the Explorer. And Dora the Explorer won out. And on this TV show, there's this little girl named Dora, and she has this trusty backpack named Backpack, and a map named Map, and a monkey, which is named Boots. And she goes exploring around this land trying to find different things. But there is a villain in this kid's show. It's this fox, and this fox's name is Swiper. And whenever you see Swiper show up on the TV, you know that Swiper is going to try to steal something. And the only way to stop him is to say very quickly three times, "Swiper, no swiping! Swiper, no swiping! Swiper, no swiping!" And if you do that right, well then Swiper goes, "Aw, man!" and turns away defeated. And you know, I kind of see a lot of parallels between Jesus and Dora the Explorer. I see Jesus walking around with his disciples and all the other followers, just walking, casually doing this ministry work, then all of a sudden turning around, seeing someone coming at the group and just going, "Satan, no snatching! Satan, no snatching! Satan, no snatching!" And then you just see the person going, "Oh man," and turning away from these disciples and these followers. And you can just take it, you know, more in general, of just this no snatching, no snatching, no snatching. And really, that seems like that's a pretty simple way to get this salvation or this eternal life that Jesus is talking about in today's gospel. But I think we need to step back from the text and we need to look at what this word snatching actually entails. Because to me, when I hear this word snatching or snatched, I kind of imagine a group of people out to dinner, and then the check comes and someone grabs the check, and that person who is never going to pay for the check anyways says, "Ah, he snatched that right on my hands." But this word snatched in Greek is so much deeper than that. You see, there was this notion in Greek culture, and it got passed along into Roman culture, that if someone was walking along the street, particularly late at night, they could just be snatched up. And this was done particularly by the gods. So someone such as Zeus could just walk along and, you know, snatch up a person, do whatever they wanted, and then, you know, the person might show up again, the person might not show up again. So this notion of snatched is so much deeper than we would realize in our context. This notion of snatched creates not only a fear for one's life and safety, but also a notion that a God was able to do whatever they pleased with a human, and that was just the way life was. So by Jesus using this word snatched, Jesus is not only referring to safety and security within him and God, but Jesus is setting the record straight that he and God are more powerful than any of the gods that are believed to be around in Greek or Roman mythology. So now back to the text. We have this wonderful line in there where Jesus talks about the members of his flock not being able to be snatched from his hand, and with this, you get eternal life. And that's great. That sounds really good to me. But the problem comes when we look at this notion of eternal life or salvation and actually look at who is saved. You see, you can take this passage two ways. The first way is you can take it, as Jesus said, there are some people who are not a member of his flock, and those people aren't going to get eternal life. Or you can take it as the Gospel of John usually does in this relationship notion that Jesus is there to have a relationship with people on earth, and that Jesus' relationship at the point he said this was not fulfilled, but as soon as Jesus' relationship was fulfilled in his dying on the cross and resurrection, then Jesus' relationship with the world was whole and salvation was for everyone. Now, I could stand up here and tell you the ELCA's policy on salvation and all of that, but Pastor Melissa, assistant to the bishop, is here, so I'm not going to do that, just in case. But regardless of what your own personal stance on salvation is, there's parts to both of those that don't always sit well in my stomach. You see, if you believe that you have to have this relationship with Jesus and only those in his flock are the people who are saved, well, that excludes a lot of people in society. That could exclude someone who is living an extremely moral and just life, doing lots of charitable work, giving away all their money, and doing it with the purest of hearts, out of no sense of obligation, but simply out of a sense of helping a fellow human being. Or it could be someone in the Amazonian rainforest who has never seen another person besides those in their tribe. Someone who doesn't even know that airplanes exist, but yet we are saying they are doomed simply because they have never had an opportunity to hear the gospel, to know who this Jesus person even is. But on the flip side, if you say, no, once Jesus' relationship with the world is complete, and when Jesus died and was resurrected, we all, regardless of our beliefs, became members of Jesus' flock. Well, that sounds a lot better, doesn't it? At least on the surface. But then you dive a little deeper into it. You maybe watch the news. You maybe think of things going on in our world today. You think about possibly the clergy abuse scandal that was so prevalent in Pittsburgh, and you realize that that child who was abused, who cried out to God for help, who did not seem to get God to help them and completely lost their faith, that child is in the hands of God, which is great. But then you turn on the flip side and you say to that same person, not only are you in the hands of God, but your abuser who did all those terrible things to you, your abuser also cannot be snatched out of the hands of God. Or if you look at the Charleston church massacre, where people were gathered for a prayer group and were shot dead, you look at them and say, you all You all cannot be snatched from the hands of God. But the shooter who came in here and killed you in the most holy of holy times, in this relationship with God through prayer, they also cannot be snatched from the hand of God. And you know, with both of these, and those parts that don't always sit well, I am just so thankful that I don't actually have to sort this out. That I can have my own personal view of salvation and who is saved, but ultimately we're not going to know until the end. Salvation is God and Jesus's and the Holy Spirit's, and it's theirs alone. It's not for us to worry about in humanity. So as we are going about our lives, it's easy for us to look at someone or a situation and say that that person might be saved or that person might not be saved. But what's difficult to do is to have a relationship with someone that we disagree with. What is difficult to do is to do like someone did at the Columbine Memorial, where candles were not only lit for all the students who died, but someone came and lit two candles for the shooters who were also killed. You see, it's difficult. We don't want to do that. We want to hold on to this anger, this hate. We want to look at people and say, how can you be a white supremacist? That is bad. We want to look at people and say, how can you be sexist? That is bad. But what we don't want to do is go up to that person and form a deep, deep relationship with them, deeper than anything that we as humans can imagine, as deep as Jesus' relationship for us. Because at the end of the day, Jesus looks at us, and regardless of where we are in our lives, whenever something is looking like it's going to take us away from Jesus, Jesus looks at us and goes, no snatching, no snatching, no snatching. And we're still in Jesus' hands. And to me, that is some of the greatest news that I could ever receive. And to me, receiving that news that no matter what, Jesus loves me and I am within Jesus' care and I am within God's care, gives me the courage to know that when I walk out these doors, when I try to do things like form deep relationships with the other, with those people that I so strongly disagree with and might even hate, that even when I fail, even when I am just as judgmental or exclusive as the other side, that I am still in Jesus' hands, that I am still in God's hands. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Because at the end of the day, we will never be snatched. We will never be taken from God's love. And so we have the permission and the obligation to show God's love to those around us.